Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hello and welcome to Recall the Midwife. We are three superfans who love Call the Midwife. We watch each episode and then we talk about it. I'm Alex.
I'm Becky.
I'm Jen.
Now today...
Oh, I said that so crazy. Anyway, we can keep it in.
Well, to be fair, this is the episode to be crazy. So ooh, we are doing like a bonus episode because we've had so much correspondence from our amazing listeners. I still can't believe it's not just our mums who are writing in.
Well, you know, my mom could never because she doesn't really know how to work any of the technology that would be able to leave her a comment. So,
she was your head taster.
If she could figure out how to leave a comment, she would leave many, many comments. Yes.
Well, she did. She said she was a head taster of those fluffernutters.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
Delicious.
Yes, she did. She knows how to comment on Instagram, so that's a preferred method for her, yes.
Yeah, so basically we've had quite a lot of correspondence, and instead of cramming it at the end while we've not got much time and we're really rubbish at ending podcasts, we wanted to kind of actually be able to discuss them properly and digest them and listen to them instead of like rushing to be like, bye. So this is a bonus episode because you wouldn't normally be getting this. And the next episode after this, we are going to be reading Farewell to the East End.
Indeed. Well, yes,
talking about it. Have you finished it yet, girls?
No.
I've finished it. I just have to take the hard copy and like review it because I read it on audiobook like a few weeks ago. My memory is not to be trusted, so I have to refresh.
Well, I hate it, but I'm nearly through it. But anyway, so
it's really tough. It's really dark. It's dark as hell.
They're all really dark, these books, which I still don't understand how Jennifer Wirth got some good stuff out of these awful books, but she did.
Well,
who did I say?
Jennifer Wirth.
What is wrong? Honestly, I know what's wrong with me. I'm really tired. Anyway, so right time to start a podcast. So, shall we start, ladies?
Yes.
Are you gonna put us out of our misery with the big game changer?
Do you want me to do it now? Okay. So I did reference that we had a bit of game changing correspondence. And
yes,
I didn't tell them, and now Becky's absolutely dying.
I'm desperate.
Well, the thing is, we'd agreed that we were gonna talk about it later on, but now Bex has just been like, "Are you just gonna tell us right now?"
Right. Okay. I will tell you now. Okay.
Okay. Okay.
So basically, Chloe has emailed in. Okay. Chloe is my absolute soulmate. She's also mega into Neighbours. We found her afterwards after I met.
Is this actually game changing, or have you hyped it?
Well, let's just wait and see, shall we?
Okay.
Oh, honestly, the shame.
So Chloe is someone that messages, but you don't know her previously.
No, this is the first email I've ever had from her.
Okay.
And then I messaged back being like, oh my God. And then
this could be another, did you know that Barbara's granddad is Richard Burton?
No,
because this is actually real.
Let's just wait and see what this is, Bex. Let's just wait and see. Okay, here we go.
Let me talk. Anyway, so she's also mega into Neighbours, so she's basically my soulmate. So hi, Chloe, I love you. Anyway, okay. So hey girls, hey girls. I don't know why I said it like that, Chloe. I'm pretty sure you don't say it like that either. I do apologise. Forgive the old-fashioned email, but I've largely come away from social media for Lent, so this is the easiest way for me to contact you rather than just drop a message on socials. I have recently started listening to your podcast, and I have many episodes ahead of me to enjoy, so you may have covered this in future episodes. Forgive me if you have. Side note, we have not. Okay.
Okay.
I noticed you shared my confusion over the sudden disappearance of Jane.
Yes.
Yes.
I recently discovered, via Tumblr, that the scene in the Christmas episode where Turnadette, Mary and Sister Julienne stop Sheila in the street, Jane is mentioned. Apparently only in scenes that aired in New Zealand.
What?
Yep. And Sister Julienne confirms she went off to nursing school.
What?
So I've got the scene here. I'm going to play it to you.
Oh my God!
Yes. So I'm going to play it to you. Right. Can I just say, was this game changing, Becky?
Yes, it was game changing. And we said it might have got cut.
Yes, we did.
Well, this is not what I thought it was. Okay, here we go.
Why did New Zealand get it?
Well, I don't know. But so what I'm going to do is I'm going to play it to you two now.
Okay.
And don't say anything, because actually what I'm actually going to do is I've got my husband to actually get the audio out for me better in better quality so I can put it into the episode for the listeners.
Okay.
I'm going to play it for you two now. So you can hear it.
Okay.
My dear Sheila.
Hello, Sister Julienne.
Oh, it's so very good to see you. The bride-to-be.
I was on my way to sit with Timothy while he does his homework. Dr. Turner's out on call and my lodgings aren't far away.
Is there something very special in that box?
My wedding dress. I've just been to collect it. It's knee length, really quite simple.
And for that very reason, you look exquisite in it. Christmas Eve is a beautiful day to be married.
It'll be a quiet ceremony. Dr. Turner has two friends who'll act as witnesses, and afterwards we're taking them for lunch. Timothy will come with us, of course.
I understand. Nevertheless, we'd hoped we'd see you more often. We're feeling quite depleted now that Jane has also gone away to nursing school.
I don't like to trouble you. Nanata's house is such a busy place.
We aren't too busy to include you in our prayers.
That means a very great deal to me, sister. And I thank you for it.
There you go, guys. Did you hear that?
Whoa! Yes.
Can I say, it's so weird listening to it without
the context of the scene.
Well, also like, okay, two takeaways, but Bex, do you want to say yours first?
Well, I'm glad that they did think they were going to address it, but obviously it got cut from our episode. Also, Dr. Turner had two best friends who were going to act as witnesses.
Yeah. So hang on, let me just finish this email from Chloe first.
Right, yeah.
So it says, okay. I hope this gives you the same amount of closure it gave me.
Yes.
Looking forward to spending many more hours listening to your thoughts, and one day I might catch up to date with you. Thanks for the podcast and sharing your thoughts. Well, Chloe, thank you.
Oh my God. We finally got justice. Wow. Justice for Jane. I will say, the thing is, the thing that's making me insane about it, that scene is basically the exact same that we all got in our versions, except for like that one little 3-second like line about Jane. It's like, why would you cut that? That's almost nothing. Just leave it in.
No, because I don't think the bit about Dr. Turner's friends and the fact that they're going to go to lunch, take them to lunch afterwards, I don't think all of that's in. I think we got half that scene.
Yeah,
we did. No, I agree, but like,
but
I
just
don't
keep
care
the
about
Jane bit in.
Well, that's the thing. I don't care about Dr. Turner's friends. That's a nothing burger. I care about Jane. Like, give me some context with Jane. Like, that's what I want to know about. Like, it would take so little to have, like, left that in. And, I mean, I'm sure they cut it for, like, a reason that makes sense to the people who know or whatever. But, like,
tell you what, girls, as well,
watch the sense.
I had this secret that I've been harboring from you two. I can't tell you how tempted I have been to send you that link. To send you that. I told my husband he could not have cared less. And I was really annoyed. I got him to actually edit the scene and get it out of that audio file to put for me to actually put it on here so we can actually have good audio on it
for
the podcast. And I was just been like dying to speak to someone about it, but no one else cares.
Well, a very niche concern. Well done, Chloe. Good.
Yeah, Chloe. Now, do we think Chloe is in New Zealand? Is that how she got to see it?
No, because she's definitely in England, because then we spoke afterwards, because I was like, oh, thank you so much. And then she said about Neighbours as well. So, yeah. But she also met Dr. Carl, like I have.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness gracious. Well, the other thing I'll say, just because I hadn't thought about this episode in so long, because it's been a while since I've seen it and since we've talked about it, but I forgot how sad Sheila was about her wedding before she kind of really came to terms with it. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. she was treating it like she was in love and she wanted to get married to him, but she was treating it like something she had to be ashamed of. And it just made it, like, the way that the two women are talking to each other, like, it almost sounds like Sheila is just like, oh, we're just going to get married really quick. Like, so no one, like, we're not going to make a big deal about it because we're not allowed to enjoy it. And, like, no one really needs to know about it because it's really not that important. And, like, I'm just, you know, like, and it's just, it's like, oh, no. And the fact that they, like, ended up getting over that, and she had a beautiful big white wedding dress, and they had a big wedding, and it was a whole thing, and it was, like, in the church, and it was in front of everybody, and they, you know, did the whole thing. I'm like, yeah.
Why, what actually helped it? Say what helped it, everyone. Polio. That's what caused it to be this lovely thing.
Oh my goodness gracious. Wow, Chloe.
I know. Is that a game changer or is that not
that
a game
was
changer?
Game changer. Oh my I'm god, so like, glad.
Blow the roof off. We how many well so this has been like a
we're like 78 had, episodes in.
Well, I was gonna say this is like probably almost 2 years of speculation that we've had.
If you anything, know, I'm actually annoyed with our listeners for well, number one, us for not being good at your research, and the rest of our listeners for not telling us this. So
also,
you know,
I'm
your game, really, guys.
Well, why didn't any New Zealand listeners tell us this? Because they should know. They would have watched it, right?
Well, if you're in New Zealand, you should be ashamed of yourself. But I'm really surprised because I knew that Jen got deleted scenes, but I thought that we would have the full version.
You'd have everything. Well, how does it feel to be left out, Bex? How does it feel?
I don't like it, Jen. I don't like it at all.
Well, the thing is that's wild for me is that, like, there are some scenes that I'm like, oh, I really wish I could have seen that. But, like, most of the scenes that get cut are scenes that are, like, obviously really lovely and, like, wonderful, but they're not, you know, they're not, like, clinchers for the storyline.
Yeah, I think the Barbara funeral, the Barbara dying episode, there was a clincher that you got missed out. And I'm really annoyed that they missed out because I think that's one of the most powerful bits.
Which one did I miss?
You missed the one where Lucille says, do you want me to pray with you to Nurse Crane? And Nurse Crane is like, no, I do not want you to pray with me. And it gets really annoyed about the fact that she's, and then Lucille's worried about it and all this. But it just makes the moment later so much more poignant. Like, I know it's poignant anyway, but it just really adds gravitas to it. And I just thought that was a real shame for the American viewers that didn't get to see that, because it really did add some, it just added extra depth to it.
I mean, the thing that kind of drives me crazy about it is that in America, PBS, Public Broadcasting System, has the rights to air the show. And so they air it on American TV. And I know that they do put it on television, but, like, historically, PBS doesn't really do a lot of commercials. And I just don't know. And also, it's public broadcasting. Like, I mean, it's like a fun, it's not like exactly the same. I mean, they do sell advertising and stuff like that, but it's just not the exact same as, like, regular network television. And I just don't know why they couldn't. I mean, they import a lot of other series and everything like that. I just don't know why they couldn't, like, leave it
the way
it is.
Why couldn't they give us that flaming 3-second clip that could have absolutely given us closure?
Yeah, it's just, I mean, I'm sure it has to do with some, like, really boring, like, TV editing restrictions and da 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 da. And I'm sure that's why over here, like, because the thing is, my episode is always only ever, like, 3 to 5 minutes shorter than you guys. It's really not that much. I mean, I basically get everything, but I'm just like, I don't get it. And then the thing is that I watch it on the streaming service on PBS, the Passport app. And so I'm like, well, on that, why couldn't they have given the regular full episode? And then I rewatch a lot of them on Netflix. And I'm like, why can't Netflix have the regular British version either? You know what I mean? It just drives me insane. It's 2024. We live in a global world. You know what I mean? Like, I don't get it. I really don't get it. And I know it has to do with, like, international copyright law or some BS thing like that. But I'm just like, this is ridiculous.
Well, I'd like to think that some disgruntled person doing the producing has just left it so that England doesn't get it, but New Zealand does in a weird twist of fate.
It's just nuts.
And we can start Justice for Jen with the edits.
That's exactly what we should do. Justice Pichet. It's very interchangeable. Well done. And we should recall for Compline still. Come on.
I know. Well, and I definitely. So yeah, we just need to put out a whole bunch of like t-shirts. Like I definitely need like Mature Jenny t-shirt. I definitely need that. Call you back need a to Mature our Jenny. Recap.
I need it. Put it in the drawer, Sheila. Put it in the drawer, Sheila.
Oh my God. Well, I was really laughing because I was thinking about you. This is from our last episode, the episode that aired today, where you were like, he's a homosexual. Dr. Turler was like,
if he's homosexual, he's homosexual.
And it just, like, just the way that you like, I just think it's so funny. I'm like, oh my gosh. I just think like Stephen McGann is like, that's not how I said it. I'm like, I know it's not, but like, it's just so much fun. Say it that way.
Becky's t-shirt would be hashtag not team Winifred.
Oh, see, I think Becky's would be I didn't care for them. I feel like Becky is just like, or I didn't warm to them.
No, I like it. Becky's a step too far.
step too far. That's a good one. It's a step too far, or I love a cold spread. You always say I love a cold spread.
I do love a cold spread.
She loves babies in wool.
Babies especially in Chinese babies.
Wool and knitwear. Yep, exactly.
I have to cut that.
No, I'm keeping that in. So yeah, Chloe, what an absolute miracle worker.
Yeah, wow, Chloe, truly like a legend. Call the midwife legend, instant legend status.
I genuinely did big it up to them too, being like, you'll never, oh my God, it's amazing. And they were like, what is it? And I can't tell you.
I don't want to take away anything from this revelation because truly it is mind-blowing. But when I tell you, I literally thought that like a major regular on the cast had emailed you and been like, all access pass. I really thought that was what it was going to be. And I was like, because you made
well,
me like...
no, it's funny you should say that. No, it's not.
I thought Fred had been in touch and was like, girls, I'll get you in to Compline.
You know what? I really hope, Fred, if you're listening, because he does, he always likes our pictures. He's put our thing in his story before. He's put our like post in his story before, which was amazing. So
he's probably responsible for a big amount of our listeners and he deserves credit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. With Parisi, a legend.
I really hate it. I don't like watching the trials or anything. But I only watched that series because he was on it. So, works both ways. I gave him viewing figures.
Well, oh, and he's still a fashion icon because honestly, he was wearing the coveralls in a bunch of the episodes. So like and then I just started watching series 13, which no spoilers, but he's wearing the overalls, which are like the straps, to have the straps. It's not like sleeves.
Dungarees.
He was wearing those. And I was like, oh my God, the overalls are back. Like, still love it. Still want to wear them. Still want to get a pair of those. But then in this series, he was wearing the coveralls a lot, which is like the full, what do you guys call it?
Boiler suit. With
like sleeves and everything like that. It's like a jumpsuit over here. And I was like, oh, Fred, like just, oh my God. I just love his outfits. Like, I'm not saying I'd wear everything he wears, but.
See, I'd love to wear dungarees, but I just don't suit them. They just look like maternity ones because I'm quite large chested.
At this point, I'm caring less and less, like, especially on the weekends, like for work, my job now is like a lot, like requires a lot more of like a professional look than I had before. So I really try to step it up Monday through Friday. But on the weekend, I honestly just look terrible and I'm fine with it. And I'm not saying I want to look terrible, but I value like comfort and ease and like looseness and comfort a lot. And I really do. Because you know what? On the weekends, I basically am Fred. I'm pottering. I'm working in my garden. I'm just-
And you're persuading Sister Monica Joan to get an eye out.
Exactly. Oh my God. So like literally this morning, my mom got up and went to church. And like, as she was leaving to go, I said, you look like Sister Monica Joan if she had never become a nun.
I love it.
Well, and the funny thing was, is that she came out and she basically had on. So, and this is also hilarious because like, sometimes I'll be like, okay, I'm going to donate this pile of clothes. And then my mom considers me to be like her own personal little Goodwill. So she goes through. So there was this dress that I had ages ago. Now, also fun fact for all of our listeners, like I'm a tall woman. I'm on the five, I'm 5'9" and my mom is a very short lady and she's about 5'2". And so like things obviously are going to fit different on people who are vastly different in height. So I was getting rid of this dress, and on me it was like just below my knees, but on my mom it's like very close to like a maxi style, but it's still, you know, like well above her ankles. But anyways, so she had on this black t-shirt dress that I had, so like solid black. She had on black tights, and then she had on these really cute little shoes that she got from the store, but they're, how do I describe them? They're suede. It's like a dark gray and a black suede, but then the way that they fasten to stay on is there's like a little there's like one little string tie, so it's like it almost looks like a little kid shoe, you know what I mean? It looks like there's just like one little bow, you know, that she ties on her feet. And then she had on a gray cardigan that she bought from the men's section of Target, which is so cute, and then a scarf. And then she has this like big like a poof of gray hair, which is absolutely adorable. And so she just really looked like an off-duty nun. Or like a nun who was like on vacation, or like a, you know, whatever, or something like that. And she was just really like giving like very strong like mojo vibes. And as soon as I said it, she started laughing, and I was like, oh my gosh. But yeah, so I don't know where I was going with that story, as I almost never know where I'm going with some of these stories. But anyways, that's why that was what just recently happened. So
right, shall we get back to listener specials? Just realized we've done one listener thing and we're out.
Although it was really big. It was really big. I do want to hear from everyone. All of our listeners are equally beautiful and special. So
but yeah, thank you again, Chloe. But thank you to all our listeners, just even for listening. But yes. I'm being a bit gen there. Right, okay. This is from Melissa. So I'm just gonna go through a load there. So this is on Facebook. Melissa says, just recently found your podcast after becoming obsessed with the show, currently watching season 6, but listening to your podcast at season 3. I'll catch up soon. Love listening to the different perspectives. Also, something that drove me crazy in a previous episode, we do have and use the word Q in the States, just more infrequently and differently, I suppose. So Jen, that's to you.
You know what? Fair. I take ownership.
Yeah.
Yes. We do have it. It's not as common, but yes, it is, she's right. Fair.
Yeah. Okay, so Barbara Lim, we've had Barbara loads on us. We love Barbara. Barbara's one of our super fans.
Yes.
So Barbara says, shout out to Amelia, also from Australia, for the explanation of the Commonwealth. Thank you.
Yeah.
You ladies may be interested to know that currently there is a debate about our currency. Our $5 note has had the effigy of Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II since decimalisation. Now, of course, when new notes are printed, we will be expecting King Charles II. Some people are wanting to keep the Queen.
Oh, ooh. Drama.
I actually think I've seen that in the UK.
I actually did hear that after she passed away, after Queen Elizabeth II passed away, I want to say, now I could be wrong on some of the details here, but I want to say that Australia decided they were not going to really like work that hard to get around to changing their money, because they were just like, it's really expensive to change money around and then to print new money first off, but then also to like take out of circulation and replace old money. So what I heard is that they're just going to kind of keep her going for a little while longer.
Well, they do release some of it, isn't they?
Yeah,
they do that here, so it just gradually gets phased in.
Have you guys seen any King Charles notes or anything?
I've seen a Charles stamp.
Okay,
but yeah. It's like with post boxes, they all have the royal siphon.
It's her profile, right? Is that what you're talking about?
No, like the ER. Is that a siphon?
Oh, I have no idea what it's called.
But because everybody was saying,
is it called sigil? Is it called sigil? Or is that something else? What's a sigil?
I don't think it matters. Anyway, it's on there.
It does matter.
So wait, but King Charles is supposed to be on everything, right? Like coins, notes, blah, 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 everything.
Yeah,
but it won't happen.
Like right away. Like you're saying it's a slow process.
So it's just as they start to become replaced. Like, so for example, there's a post box that I pass, which is still from King George.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's actually kind of cool.
Oh, Becky's like, no, it's not actually, it's lazy.
I like it.
That's cool. Right. Okay. On to Bonnie. Who is talking about the episode when I, well, not nothing about me,
when but
it was the
episode that I really,
it was the one I really struggled with when the lady had birth phobia. So Bonnie says, Alex, thank you so much for your willingness to be vulnerable in sharing your experiences. I too had birth trauma followed by a brutal struggle with postpartum depression. For a long time, I felt like I had failed as a woman and a mother. Hearing your story helps me feel a little bit less alone, even though I'm across the pond. Hugs to you. Oh, Bonnie, I hate hugs, but thank you.
That is so sweet. That is
but
so
also,
sweet.
She absolutely, I actually replied to her because I was just like, you hit the nail on the head with how you feel like you failed. So, because other women can do it and you feel like you failed as a woman not being able to do it. So honestly, thank you so much, Bonnie. I really, really appreciate that. It was a really hard episode for me to do, but I'm just really, really glad that I did. And also that you liked it as well. And also just it resonated with you. I like that.
Also, for our listeners, we watched for some... Oh, you went well, because we were going to record that episode and then we had to postpone for a week.
Yeah, because I had a
sickness. And so the next weekend, Alex is like, oh, I'll just watch the episode again just to refresh my memory. And I was like, don't watch it.
I totally forgot, yeah. Oh, now, another one. Now, this one's actually directly for Jen.
She's still on mute.
Oh! This one's directly for Jen.
Okay.
This is Joanne off Facebook. Now, the thing is, it's really funny because, like, they're saying these things and you're like, when did we even mention that? But I'm going to go here. Another thing Jen got a little mixed up on.
Okay, all right, here we go. That's fine.
It's trite. It is sold in our local grocery stores. Pig stomach is a popular food among PA Dutch. It was for special occasions at my house growing up in central PA.
Okay.
Apparently tripe is absolutely...
Wait, so I'll just say to this beautiful listener, yes, you're exactly right. Obviously, I mean, she knows what she knows, right? So here's the thing. And I try to say this whenever I'm talking about this kind of stuff in the pod, but I certainly feel like it's worth repeating or saying for the first time if someone hasn't caught it or whatever, that, I mean, no Americans can speak for every American, obviously, like that's not possible. So I never want
Donald Trump
to...
can.
Okay, let's not even go there. But let's just like, but I just want everyone to know, like, if I've gotten anything wrong, you know, especially about regional specificity, like I fully take ownership. Like I never mean anything I say to be 100% that like all Americans are X, because we're just a massive, massive country. We have four time zones. We have, you know, over 350 million people here. Like, you know, it's just a lot of us. And like, there's
the other thing is
the quality of American life inherently means that there's just so many different cultural, ethnic, racial, like, you know, religious, like, influences, and all of those things are this, you know, massive.
Yeah, but also, Jen,
pot, so.
If you listen to this podcast, accuracy is not what you're here for, because no war. Commonwealth.
You're not here for a thoroughly well-prepared podcast.
You're not here for any wealth research, anything, yeah. That's actually, you know, flying squad, I thought was, you know, helicopter. Do you know what I mean? Like, if you want something really right and well researched and totally on the thing, you are in the wrong place.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I know all of our listeners, you know, give us a lot of grace and everything.
Oh, no, was tongue-in-cheek.
But
it was tongue-in-cheek, the message.
Yeah, but I just do, you know, I do say, like, if I ever sound like I'm speaking for everyone or, like, I'm so confident I know for sure, whatever, just, oh, I mean, always feel free to correct us, because honestly, context is king, and, like, I love hearing about people's individual experiences, but just know that, you know, I'm saying things in, like, a generalized and, like, hopefully funny, humorous way, like, you know, so.
Actually, on this, you know, we were talking about the Barbara thing and you two were like, oh, how did she die? How did she get sepsis? And I was like, I'm pretty sure it's meningitis was brings on sepsis.
You
sepsis
only
was like,
knew that because
no,
you knew it from the next no. episode.
No, but I didn't. I knew it anyway, because I knew about meningitis and sepsis.
Okay,
no.
but anyways, even if you
anyway,
did, then
not
what's the point?
Really sure
then what's
wrong.
The point? Okay.
The point being, I was really right on that.
So you literally stopped us just to say I was really right. That's really what, yeah. That's the whole point. Okay.
I edit this, so carry on. So
next listener comment.
So this is from Jen, and this is part one of two. So.
Oh, from a Jen?
Yes.
Okay, love
this
a Jen.
Not,
here
this
we
is
go.
Not pointing your anything out. For you, Tom. Okay, you ready? Thank you for your podcast. Just had to reach out. I started listening from the beginning last week and I'm up to the end of season 5. I just had to reach out. I know.
Wow.
I know. I just had to reach out and say I love the podcast. I finally have someone to talk to about the show. Just finished the episode where the Turners go camping and I had to laugh so hard about all my feelings on camping. Just wait for this. I work for a company that manages campgrounds here in the US, and I'm currently over safety and insurance, so I get a copy of every single incident that happens in campgrounds across the country.
Oh,
let
my
me tell
God.
You, camping is awful.
What are the things that she has heard in those reports? I would love to know. I would love to know.
I don't know, but she says, stay home with your bathrooms and door locks and domesticated animals.
Oh my God. Wait. This lady, do we have her name?
Yeah.
Okay.
Jen.
Oh, Jen. Oh, Jesus Christ. Oh, Jesus. Well, you know what? I apologize to my own sister in Jenniferhood. But Jennifer, please send us a story. Please, for the love, just pick one that you think sums up a lot and just send it. Like you can even say, don't read it on the pod because I have to protect my job and privacy or whatever. But like, we just want to hear, please, can you just, okay, that's my plea. That I'm going to end there. But
right. Yes. Well, so she's got a question. question for us, and then there's a second part because I then replied. So,
okay.
She says, here is my question for you. Are midwives still very common in the UK? I know we have them here in the US, but it's not as common, I think. And I think they've even been almost frowned upon here in the past. So in answer to your question, Jen, yes, midwives are a massive part still of the childbirth story. Here, basically, you mainly see midwives. You only ever see a doctor if there's an issue. So I went through the whole of my pregnancy and the whole of my birth only with midwives. Midwives, that's it. See a doctor the whole time. There was no need for me to. So yeah, it's very midwife-led. I've got two very heavy pregnant friends at the moment. They've only seen midwives. So yeah, it's all about the midwives here in the UK.
I'll tell you what, I have not been pregnant, but I think it would be great to have a midwife. I mean, it's the full specialty of the person who's giving you care, right? They don't do anything else. Yeah. They focus on that. Yeah. Not that people who deliver babies don't focus on delivering babies, but you know what I'm saying? Like it's, and the midwives, especially if it's like on the show, they take you from pregnancy all the way through and then even after, so it's somebody who's there with you full stop. And again, I know people get that care, here with other professionals, but I'm just saying, like, especially because it seems like a lot of midwives are women. And again, nothing against male doctors or nurses or whatever like that, but I feel like, it's just different, to have, anyway. So
So part two of Jen's message, because I was like, oh, thank you so much, can we put this on the pod? But she said, also, random side note, I love when Jen talks about watching the podcast with her mom.
Oh,
my mom passed away before I discovered the show, and I know she would have loved it. She got married in 1957 when the show started, and had two of her babies in a maternity home in Canada where they moved for a few years after their marriage. My mom had seven kids, her first in 1959 and me in 1986. I was a surprise with a 17-year age gap between me and my closest sibling. Every time my mom had a baby, her labor was different and they used different pain relief methods. When I watched the show, I just know she would love the history and the memories it would bring up for her. Isn't that lovely?
I love that. Jennifer, shout out to your sweet mom. And like, truly, like, all honor and like respect given to her for having seven kids and raising a beautiful family and being a beautiful lady.
I know, and a closest sibling being 17 years.
Yeah. I'll tell you a really fast story, which made me think of this. Jennifer, I just moved to Virginia from North Carolina. And in our church in North Carolina, we had a lot of wonderful, wonderful people that we were very good friends with. And there was a lady who passed away a long time ago, but she was the youngest of a very large family as well. I want to say she had eight to 10 siblings. And there was a big age gap between her oldest sibling and her being the baby. And she told a story about the fact that there was a Sunday where everybody was coming to their house for dinner. And this lady walked into her house and she was a little kid, but maybe like kindergarten age or something. And she ran up to her mom and she was like, "Mom, who's that lady?" And she was like, "That's your sister." Her sister was already like out of the house, married, like had her own house, like, she just wasn't around as often, and so she just didn't know her. And she said that and that story just always stuck out in my mind because I just thought that's hilarious.
My granddad, my mum tells a story about her dad. My granddad was the oldest of like 10 or 13. One of my mums was like one of 10, one was one of 13, but they were both the eldest. He was living in London working at the Savoy as a, like, doing waiter servicing, like silver service stuff. Anyway, he went back up home to Middlesbrough and his mum was pregnant and he didn't even realise she was pregnant or notice. And then the next day she had a baby. And how thick must you? I said to my mum, like, surely this must not be true. Like, you've embellished this, because how thick must you be? Anyway, that's by the by.
Oh my God.
Right, well, there's a 20-year age gap between my dad's the eldest and my uncle, who's the youngest of four.
Oh, you're kidding. That's the 20-year only four age kids, though.
Four kids, yeah. He was a complete accident.
Wow.
Who's your dad over?
But it's weird because my uncle is closer in age to me and my brother.
Oh my God.
My dad.
Wow.
That is weird.
So was he always like the super young, cool, hip uncle guy to you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he was like, he was only, how old? He's probably like 10 years older than me.
He's only, so he is significantly younger. Wow.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Families are so interesting and amazing. So
I know, it's mad, isn't it? Right, now, back onto the Call the Midwife. Come on.
Okay.
So Jeremy on Instagram says, my question is, how do you find that Call the Midwife deals with character exits? So they mention here a bit of a spoiler, so I don't really want to say it. But
if you don't
want to
know about something that comes in future, stop and jump ahead like 30 minutes, 30 seconds or a minute or something like that, because we're going to say.
Well, spoiler alert, I'll do it right now. I'm a bit frustrated, but they have not mentioned anything this season about Cyril's marriage now that Lucille is not coming back.
There we go. Yeah.
And it is weird because this season, the latest series 13, they haven't referenced her once.
Well, girls, we have to. Okay. So I'll just say really quick. So I've finished episode 5 of series 13 and I'm going to keep watching. Tonight, that's going to be a show we watch for sure. We'll watch one or two episodes. But by the way, like, I have such major hard eyes for Cyril this season. I don't know why. Like, I always loved him, but like this season, I'm just like really loving him. But
you feel like kindred spirits this season.
Oh,
change of profession.
Oh my, I'm like, where's my real life Cyril? Oh my God. But it is crazy and I don't know what's going to happen, but if there is something that's going to happen with it, also don't spoil it for me either, because I want to find out when I watch the rest of series 13.
Do you know how they deal with exits? They let everyone in New Zealand know what's going on.
I was about to say, if you're in New Zealand, let us know. Yeah
exactly. Because and actually, Jeremy, we have complained, like, I mean, you're going to hear us complain about this a lot, because honestly, they do character exits. It to me, it's shocking, because it's one of the things they actually, I think, do not do well on the show, and they do it not well consistently, because they leave so many people, many character exits hanging, like they're just all of a sudden gone. Like, I don't get it.
Currently we've got Nurse Mount and Delia.
They just got literally a mention that they were in Scotland and like, good luck to them. And
Tom
bye.
Was in New Guinea as well.
Yeah. Well, Barbara got the best exit of all. I mean, we cried and sobbed for her, but I mean, in terms of her story arc, like she got the most fanfare. She got like 4 episodes.
Bye,
But then we'll have tons of other characters that are just poof. Like, where did Valerie Dyer go? Sorry, like spoiler again, but like where? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, nah. I'm not gonna say what happened to her, but yes, Jeremy, we're all confused about it too. So
yeah, so basically we don't, this is your answer, we don't like it. Okay, so message from Joanne. Hi, Joanne. Hello. She says, ladies, I just love your podcasts. I was caught up, so I started watching again from the beginning along with listening to the podcasts again. I'm caught up now and I'm sad I need to wait a week for the next one. I so enjoy the discussion and especially diversions. Well, do you know what? If you want a diversion, mate, this is the place for you. I find myself talking back to you guys and laughing out loud. My neighbours probably think I am daft. Here's a question for the listeners special. It seems odd to me that the midwives can just walk into a hospital and do their thing. For example, Trixie takes the lady who had her teeth removed up to a delivery room, and the only ones in the room are Trixie, Mr. Dockerell, and the patient. No one from the hospital is present. On a Christmas special, Trixie is in the nursery at the hospital in her midwife uniform. There are other times I've noticed this too. Did anyone else notice this, or am I just seeing things? Love your podcast so much. Thank you so much. I feel like I have 3 new friends. Joanne, you do.
Aww, well, Joan, yes, we are your friends, so no question
Joanne,
there.
But, you know, call her Joan.
Oh, Joanne. Well, Joe and Joanne. I see, we're such good friends. I'm already calling you Joe, because we're
nickname,
just so close.
Yeah,
well, I'm always talking. What do you girls
think? I never noticed that. And I'm like,
I
why
hadn't,
did you not
but
notice
now you
that?
Say it.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not trying to sound like I'm so smart, but I just always assumed that they had like hospital like licenses or privileges or something, that just like they served in the community, but that they automatically were connected
but you would
to
think...
a hospital where they could go and also serve in times of certain events kind of thing.
But especially with the Crystal situation, you would think that if they'd have just taken her up to the maternity ward, it would be led by somebody based in the hospital. It's so we've never noticed that.
Well, like, here's an example. Like, I can't remember the lady's name, but you remember the mom of 2 who was married to that man and she went on birth control and then she had like a heart attack or all that thing. So like Trixie was in the hospital with her when she was
I think Trixie was on surgical, wasn't she? She was on
secondment.
Yes.
She was?
Yeah.
I think so.
She was. They'd asked her to go in.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I wasn't sure. Because I thought she, for whatever reason, I thought she saw her. Oh,
but
no,
I'll tell you what else.
Nurse,
there was that Margaret Jones as well. And her nurse was Mary Cynthia, old sister, oh, just Cynthia then. And yeah, she wasn't seconded to the, she was just there looking after her. So actually, you're 100% right, Joanne. We'll look out for this in the future. We'll have a klaxon for you.
Yeah. Yeah, I hadn't even thought about that in a detailed way.
Okay, next one, we're going to get through him. Meg. Okay. Meg has messaged us before. She's doing a GCSEs. We love Meg.
Oh, okay. Right.
For future pods about thalidomide in skills, a Welsh skills about how to do presentations and all of that jazz, I think it's called Welsh Baccalaureate. And for my individual project, I chose to do the history about thalidomide. From the intense research I had to do, I've learned that thalidomiders wore artificial limbs to appear normal in society. Also, that many thalidomiders had gone to special schools and education was far from the priority list, and a head teacher accepted 10 thalidomiders into mainstream schools, and those who did get in, they were bullied very badly. And those thalidomiders who did go into special schools, there was classrooms with children from the ages of 4 to 16.
Ooh.
Also, they didn't have a right to have an education. There was so much more information I know about it, and even for me, it's extremely overwhelming. But if you want to know any more about it, I can help you. Thank you, Meg. We will actually probably get in touch with that. But yeah, so she does history GCSE, so she wants to see if any sources from historian perspective, but yeah. I just thought that was a really interesting little insight there into how
they didn't have a right to an education.
No,
which is disgusting. That's terrible.
Yeah, so basically they weren't offered places in schools. They weren't have made to go to school or anything. They didn't have a right to it. This seemed like they needed it. Right, I've got a message here, and it's actually by Bex, and it says, "If anything happened to Fred, I would quit the podcast in protest and stop watching Call the Midwife." She sent us that message the other night and it just made me howl.
And we're not going to say what that means. Anyway, so,
Next one. I just took a screen. Made me laugh.
I was like, another Bex. Okay. Yeah.
So we've got Barbara Lim in Australia again. We love you, Barbara. So Barbara says, "We don't have streaming services, so I'm very slow catching up on The Crown. I watched series 6, episode 5 and 6 tonight. I was an admirer of our gracious queen all my life. In episode 5, she's still firmly at Balmoral following the death of Diana. At one stage, Diana visits her and there is a conversation. The queen is wearing the sort of outfit one sees on many old ladies, a floral blouse with a checked shirt. I was appalled. I never saw the queen in anything like that. She tended to wear a plain top and a cardigan or jacket with a tartan or checked skirts. I know it's off CT topic, but I wondered if you, Becky and Alex, had noticed. Barbara." I definitely didn't notice, but I'm guessing this is the kind of thing Bex would know about.
Yeah, Bex, what do you say?
No, I've not noticed.
Do you think she would wear a floral brown blouse with a check skirt?
Skirt. Okay.
Yeah, no, I'm tired. Do you think that's the kind of thing she'd wear? I don't think she'd wear Clash of Two Prince.
I don't think she'd wear a floral blouse.
No, exactly.
Do you think it's the kind of thing where, like, how she looked in public versus how if she just, like, threw something on in private or something like that?
Do you think she's channeling you, Jen, where she's professional Monday to Friday?
Yes.
And then at the weekend, she just wants comfort.
I'm telling you this now, from watching The Crown, she was professional 24/7, baby.
I actually like the way she said, what did she say? Gracious queen or gracious lady or something?
Yeah.
Oh, I do think Elizabeth really was a very gracious and like serious and stately lady.
I've been watching The Crown with my mum, and we've not watched the latest series, which has got Diana.
You haven't watched all the most recent ones?
No.
Why?
Oh.
Because my mum is obsessed with telling me that she's only up to the ABBA fan episode. And I'm like, no, we've watched the whole of that series.
That's ages ago, by the way.
Yeah, and I keep telling her, no, you've watched it. The minute you start trying to rewatch that episode, you're going to see that you've watched this.
I just watched it without her, Bex.
She refuses to watch it.
Well, I thought you guys were going to watch this over Christmas.
I did.
This past Christmas.
But then, no, because now she's decided that she's not going to watch the latest series. She's starting from the beginning.
Oh, Bex, just watch it yourself, mate. Honestly.
So I need to just go solo.
And she's only up watch to Aberfan. Aberfan is like the first series, basically. She's like three episodes
in.
No, but
Jen, she's not even got round to starting again.
Bex, just watch it.
Watch it without her. You can save the surprise when you watch it together in 17 months.
Yeah.
It's just on a to-do
list. You won't remember by then anyway, so just do it.
She's never going to,
just watch it, enjoy it, and then erase it from your brain, and then you just watch it for the, quote, the first time with her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right,
We'll never tell.
I'm moving you to up. Tori. Hello, Recall the Midwife. My name is Tori, and I'm 28 from the US. I wanted to take this moment to write this letter to tell you thank you for making your podcast. Aww. I am a super fan of Midwife as well. I have seen every episode of the show at least twice. I have cerebral palsy and Asperger's syndrome, along with some other disabilities. With the cerebral palsy, I'm in discomfort, if not pain, at all times. And with the Asperger's, which is a type of high-functioning autism, socialising and making friends can be difficult. Midwife has been one of the only places where every part of my identity is treated with respect. I know. Midwife has always been a space where I feel safe. I wanted to thank you for extending that feeling of a safe space with your podcast. I like to listen to your podcast at night when I'm in pain and there is no one to talk to. It definitely helps me feel less alone. Have you guys seen season 13, episode 1 yet? When you do, there is a character in that episode who has cerebral palsy. I would love to share my story with you and share my experience with having cerebral palsy. If you are interested, yes, we are. I would also love to share my story and experience with Asperger's syndrome and any other disability at any time you feel appropriate to do so. I haven't gotten to listen to all your episodes yet, but I thought of a cool idea. Did you guys ever think of assigning each other characters from the show? For example, if I was a character, I would definitely say I was a patsy. Thank you for taking the time to read this letter, and thank you again for all the hard work you do. It really helps make my world a brighter place. Thanks again for everything. I really appreciate it from the bottom of my heart. Oh, Tori. I actually replied saying, oh my god, I literally nearly cried. It was gorgeous.
I was gonna say the tears so much, are Tori. Kind of I'm feeling very emotional about Tori and her beautiful vulnerability in this message. Tori, sweet lady.
Who would you be? Well, we've already said Becky's Jane.
Yeah.
Who are you going to be? We'll have to think about this.
Oh, gosh.
I'm quite plain talking. Am I a Nurse Crane?
I think you'd be a Sheila.
Oh, who's Sheila?
You. Jen?
Me?
Yeah.
I think, is she a bit not caring? Is she a bit too caring?
Yeah.
Not that I'm not caring.
I would say if I was gonna flatter myself, I'd really like to say that I'm Barbara. But I think more realistically,
more of a Jenny.
You're terrible. I hate you. This podcast is over. I was gonna say more realistically I think I'm a Phyllis, because I do think I have a very sweet caring heart, but I also I don't know, I think I'm just not as, I don't know, I guess I, no, but Phyllis is more practical, I think you've and got, like matter of more, fact than I am. I'm a little bit more
of a
that.
Like nicer caring side to you.
I do.
we'll have a ponder on this. Maybe Lucille. Oh no, she's a bit prim. You're more funny. Anyway, right,
maybe Val. Maybe I'm more like Val.
Yeah, you just gotta call people chick more.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. We'll have to think about it.
Right. Now, okay, this is another one. My name is Ruby, and I'm a big fan of your podcast. I just wanted to ramble a bit about what Call the Midwife means to me, because I'm not sure anyone else wants to hear it. Well, we do, Ruby.
We always do.
Yeah. I'm 23, and I had a really horrible time with my mental health last year. I was in and out of hospital constantly and in some really bad states. I started watching the show in December 2023 and completely fell in love with it. I don't mean to sound dramatic, but I honestly think the show is a huge part of the reason I'm doing so well in my recovery now. Aww. I know one of you had a really traumatic time and used the show to cope with your trauma. It's not the same. I'm not a mum, but I do have a lot of medical trauma from being in hospital and experiencing poor treatment from doctors and nurses who weren't sensitive to my needs as an autistic person. Watching the way all the nurses are so lovely on the show was a really healing experience for me and helped me to understand that no matter what, I did deserve good care. Now, I did check with Ruby before I read this out.
Okay.
I was allowed to. Yeah.
Yeah.
And she was, yeah, amazing. And I also said it was me who was the one who had the bad birth trauma. And I also thanked her so much for this lovely message, and also just, you know, for the shared experiences about this kind of thing. I think it is very important. I think that's why it does hit a note with a lot of people, this show. And also our podcast, because obviously we do talk about all the issues in it as well. Yeah. So I said, could I use that? And then she said, I also like to say that it really helped me seeing the way Dr. Turner was with Sister Mary Cynthia in season 6. Male doctors are such a hit or miss in real life, but he was so sensitive and kind with her after she went through something so horrific. I was hospitalized after a similar experience, and I was victim blamed by a doctor. So seeing the way Patrick treated her was so healing and made me feel so seen and oddly loved in a way. I know that's crazy, it's not at all, but it really made me feel better. I love your podcast so much. I always watch the episode you're talking about on a Sunday night before I listen to the podcast. It's my winding down before bed routine. You guys have such interesting insights, and I love it when we notice the same things or have the same theories.
Well, I'll just say this. I'll make this very brief, but I'll just say that I have talked about it, but I have not, I don't think I have connected the dots in a major way, but my father passed away in 2017, and that event happened at a time where I was already in a very, very, you know, it was a very, very bad time in my life, you know, for lots and lots of reasons. Yeah. And there are scenes in this show, and I've highlighted many of them just in our conversations, but there are scenes in this show that I found after that loss that have profoundly touched me, and I carry them with me on a regular basis, and they did and do really, you know, help me you know, as I always kind of continue in this journey of, you know, like just processing loss and life and, you know, things that happen. And so I think all of us feel the power of this show. And I just yeah. really respect and admire your willingness to share that with us, and just know we all are in the same boat with you. So,
yeah, well, the whole point of this podcast in the first place, the whole reason I actually ever watched Call the Midwife is because yep. of my PTSD. So yeah, and obviously yeah. it's come to this, that we're doing this podcast, and I can't believe, can you believe we've got all these different people who are actually listening?
No, I honestly, it blows my mind that the amount of people that listen. And
I know well, I've got
also,
more
also also okay. thanking us for our hard work. I mean, the only person really to thank is Alex, because she edits it. In Jen, just turn up.
I also do all the social media as well. So
you love that though, so you can't you do love it.
I do, I'm joking.
You're chatting with everybody.
Alex is the most truly extroverted person. I mean, you are always into people and into talking to people.
Side note, I went and did something with my daughter today, and there was loads of people there, and I was just so horrendously sick inducingly extrovert, and I was just loving life. Anyway, right. So Bonnie says, absolutely love the podcast. It's my favorite part of the week. All the people in my life look at me like I'm mental when I talk about that weird show about nuns riding bicycles, my husband's words. So it's wonderful to know that there are indeed other people in the world that understand our love for this spectacular series. A few ideas for you when you all catch up to the current episodes. You can do a best of series and feature each character in his or her greatest moment. Definitely.
Love
you could
it.
Do a top 10 topics, best episodes, funniest moments, looking at you, Dr. Turner's knees during the camping episode, saddest moments, etc. There's tons of options to ensure Recall the Midwife goes on for quite some time. Thank you all for all you do, and keep up the great work. P.S. You could also have a listeners as a podcast guest every so often. That's not a bad shout either. So thank you so much, Bonnie.
Love it, Bonnie.
Well, ideas are brilliant.
We have had some messages lately from people who might have to all start putting makeup on before we record these.
Yeah,
I know. Because people will actually see what we look like.
Exactly. Right. Now, this one is one for you, Bex, especially. So this is from Jennifer, who says, such a great episode, as always. Thank you for reading my email. I felt famous, lol. And thanks for letting me know about the tour. I did tell you. See, I told her. We planned lots of other stuff, mostly eating and drinking, lol. Jen talking about eating donuts in the car reminded me that we used to have bagels, the fries or chips at the bottom of the bag that whoever went to get the fast food got to eat.
Oh, yes.
And then just one last one before we end. I've got Debbie, who says, just finished listening to the latest episode. Jen, you always say that you cry every episode, and I've wondered what's wrong with me, as I haven't cried during any of them. While I cried at this one, so sad, you're right. They should have got some happiness in Poplar before she got sick. Can't wait for the next one. Now, I just said that was the last one, but it is not the last one.
Well, before you go on, I very rarely cry in a Call the Midwife. Jen's like, oh my God, this had me in tears. And
I don't think of myself as a crier, but certain things really get me going. And I'll tell you what, this show always does. So, but you know, cry or not cry, we're all equal in our love. So it's no judgment. You had one more, Al?
Hi, I'm Neve and I'm 12 years old.
Aww.
You are the best podcast I have ever listened to in the world.
Well, and Neve, that ranking will remain for the rest of your life. Yeah, I just want to guarantee you that.
Just saying, she got good taste early. I started watching Call the Midwife when I was 9 with my mum, and I became addicted to it within a couple of days. She honestly sounds like my daughter trying to walk in. My favourite character ever is either Sheila, Barbara, Patsy or Phyllis. You've totally absolutely
Those
got
are
it right there.
Amazing
yeah.
ones.
Yeah. When Sheila went into hospital, I actually wept for at least an hour. And when Barbara died, don't even get me started. You are such beautiful, sweet people, and listening to you every week makes me feel as though I am among best friends. It's so strange. None of my friends wants to discuss Call the Midwife with me. I have religiously watched every episode along with you for about the 100th time, and your remarkable insights and bizarre anecdotes make me belly laugh in the days I'm down. Jen has such, well, this is it. Jen has such a gorgeous laugh and a happy disposition. Bex, not being nosy, is hilarious, and her dry humour makes me cry with laughter. And Alex, you are the funniest person in the universe. I'm telling you now, I did not write it. However, I have a bone to pick with you. Right back at the start of the pod, you mentioned Trixie saying sweetie and then mentioned Valerie saying precious. This is incorrect. Valerie says chick and Lucille says precious. I'm telling you now, we just got
You're right.
Yeah. Also, I have a controversial opinion. I despise Lucille. She was so totally amazing, her and Cyril, and then she totally abandoned him and was left all by himself. I was outraged. I loved Lucille, but Cyril was a whole other level and she just totally vanished. I know that's not her. It's the awkward moment when Leonie Elliott left, but still. Also, Chummy hated her, hated Peter, Liked Freddie because how can I hate a baby? But yes, never warmed her. Don't ask why, just don't. Also, Downton Abbey is also the best. Please do a podcast in it. I love it. And finally, I've read Jennifer Worth's books as well. I read all three in a week on holiday. It was such a refreshing read for a cruise. Lols. Love you guys. Oh, bless you. Bless you.
This also, girl she is loves 12?
She loves baking as well, like you two.
Oh my God. This girl is 12.
Yeah.
Oh my word.
I know.
Well, wait a minute. Just to say, this young lady is only 12 years old now.
Yeah.
Oh my word.
I know.
I'm very impressed. I mean, look, Call the Midwife is, we've had listeners who are very young all the way to older, you know, mature age, right? And I'm just always impressed by, you know, like when people start watching the show and kind of like how they connect with it and why they connect with it and all of that. And I mean, this young lady also like so brave because those books especially are really tough. Like, oh my gosh, like I...
And to read three in a week, that's a dark, dark week.
That's a dark holiday as well, isn't it?
Yeah, I was going to say, I hope she was like skimming past just a lot of stuff in there. Also, it just really made me lols when she was like, I don't care for Chummy. I don't like this person. I was like, okay. Now, we respect all opinions, but that just really had me laughing.
I have to agree with the Lucille. I mean, we'll talk about it more because that's another spoiler.
I know. Lucille, yeah, I don't want to spoil either, but Lucille was not, I like her, but she's not like one of my top ones.
The other thing I'm gonna share on our social media is, so my daughter did some work recently. I went to her parents' evening and looking through her books and everything, they leave them out for you, and they've done this weird question which is like, who works in our local community, and they had to choose someone or whatever, and my daughter chose a lollipop worker. So she's drawn a thing about a lollipop worker, so I'll put that on our social media so you can all see it.
That's very cute. All right. So we've had so many. Do we have any more?
Just a few more. Just really quick. Okay. Linda says, okay. Reggie, that music carousel just broke my heart. He's such a kind
soul. Oh, God. We all sobbed at that. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the last one for now, we will have more for the future episodes. But I just really wanted to do a big, long episode on loads of them because we've had so much good, really good interaction. I didn't want to ruin it by just doing one tiny bit at the end.
It blows my mind, the amount of, like, some of the feedback we get.
I know. Yeah, so we'll do this one and then we'll talk about it. Debbie, she says, I have only listened to part of this podcast as I'm saving it to make it last, but I have to comment on the discussion of chicken salad sandwiches. When I was young, my nana took me to the big department store in Winnipeg, Manitoba, named Eaton's, and I always ordered a chicken salad sandwich and it was delicious. It had big chunks of chicken, celery, onion and mayo, a bit of salt and pepper served on white bread. I've seen modern recipes that try to spice it up, but we like it the old way as we are of British background and tend to like our food more on the bland side. How rude. Lol. Keep up the good work, ladies. Yeah, to be fair, apparently we like the bland sandwiches, so
yeah.
But that's it for now, ladies. Now they're all the messages we have.
I love it. This is so great.
Isn't it lovely? Like, how amazing are our listeners? Thank you so much to anyone who has messaged. Thank you to anyone who listens, let alone messages. Yeah, like, I just can't absolutely believe how many people are actually listening. I can't believe how many people actually message us. We thank you from the bottom of our hearts for getting in contact, for listening to us as well. But just how many amazing, insightful, brilliant listeners do we have, guys?
Yeah, yeah.
Although not enough amazing in New Zealand.
I just am so impressed by it. And I just feel like, you know, and the thing that honestly really touches me is like people who discover the show and then happen to discover us and then they, you know, go back and start from the beginning and want to get into it. I mean, it's just all around. It's so sweet. And I just...
Also, we're a bit rubbish at first because we weren't editing as much as... I was just getting my husband to edit it. So we were all like breathing and like... Because I can edit all that out now.
Yeah. And like, I mean, truly, it's hilarious because like have I gone back? I don't know. But just remembering what we were like at the start, I'm really glad people have kind of like stuck with us until... Yeah. We kind of got our feet under us a little bit with all of this because it's, you know, it definitely took a minute. Like we're not professional by any stretch now, but I think we've got a little bit of a groove going and stuff. So, I just love it.
Something we always had going for us was that we had the friendship foundation for.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, but I do think that's important on the podcast and things like that. If you know each other well and like each other, obviously.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to say the liking comes and goes, but.
Well, the more we say old Jenny, the less you like us.
Well, and the fact that, like, I tolerate so much America bashing on this show all the time. Oh, my God. What did you say? You said, I was listening to some episode and you said something and I was like, golly. I didn't respond in the moment, but as I was listening later on, I was like, gee whiz. But anyways, I know it's all in good fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, it's a great show. And I will say to our listeners out there who are also in the same boat, who have not had all the episodes for season 13 yet. I am working my way through season 13, and it is an emotional roller coaster, and I'm loving and crying just as much as I always ever was. And tonight I will be watching more of the new episodes of series 13. And
I have a lot to say about series 13.
Oh my goodness, I have a lot of opinions too, and it feels weird to have to wait, because I'm watching it and I'm like, I want to say this, but it's going to take time to get there. And I wonder if I'm going to feel the same now. I wonder if I'm going to feel the same when we record about it as I feel now, or if my thinking will have evolved over time.
No, I think you will. I always feel like the same gut reactions of mine.
Yeah, yeah.
But I just also wanted to do just a bit of a shout out to the people who don't have friends who listen to this. No, don't have friends who watch Full Midwife, sorry, who listen to this. And like, they're using us as that. This is literally one of the main reasons why we did this podcast, because I was like, I was just saying before to these two, we just had a bit of a break because we had to do a bit of a ending on the recording, so we had to open a new one. And I was just saying, the reason that I started this podcast, I just remember it was like an itch I had to scratch. I just remember thinking, oh, do you know, it'll be amazing, a podcast about Call the Midwife, because I was watching it constantly.
Mm-hmm.
Podcast where we talk about it, we can talk about an episode, but like, I really like people listening to it, three friends. And I remember speaking to you, Jen, and you've been like, yeah, well up for it. And Becky was like, no.
I was like, I think I kind of went along with it, and then you were like, yeah, we're actually gonna do this. I was like, what, we're actually gonna do it? I thought it was just one of those things that you say, like, oh, wouldn't it be great if we did this, but you don't
made a wooden clog out of shoes, out of wood. Well, for you,
conversely, I think I said yes, because I was just like, okay, sure. And then I was like, well, we'll just see if this ever gets off the ground, kind of a thing, because I was like, well, I'm not,
oh, you two not believing in me.
Well, I believed in you, but at the same time, I mean, you know, like life is busy, you know what I mean? And you have a lot on your plate. And I was like, I mean, I knew what I brought.
This is the worst time for me to do this, but I'm doing it, and we're doing it well.
But, you know, like a lot of things in life, like having children, is there ever going to be a good time? You've just got to do it. You've got to take the plunge, and it will all work out great, you know?
Yeah, but the point being, I really wanted something, because there used to be times when I want to talk to someone about Call the Midwife, and obviously I was so obsessed with it because I was watching it constantly, because I was trying to get over this birth, blah, 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 blah. So I didn't really have anyone to talk to about it. And then Jen, I knew you had started watching it. So then I was speaking to you about it, and I was like, oh, do you know what would be really good? So then I thought this would be really good. I didn't think anything really had come of it, apart from the fact that I just thought it'd be really good at podcast that I would like to listen to. And I do listen to it. I know you don't, Bex, but I just thought it'd be really good. So I thought it'd be good for people who don't have someone to speak to about Call the Midwife, to have people talking about it. One of us hopefully would have some of their thoughts as well. So I thought that'd be quite good. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'm just really glad that people are actually, it resonates with people. And I really appreciate all the comments, because it is really lovely, because it is hard work. Well, that we do put work into it, and it is amazing that people are actually responding to it. Just one person saying that we help them in one tiny way is actually amazing. Like, it has made it all worthwhile.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Amazing.
It is. Our listeners are amazing. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you all for listening. Oh, well, you know what, listen, I've already laid it on pretty thick, so I will try to refrain myself, but I can get super cheesy so quick.
So, like, from something so lovely and heartwarming and amazing, we're going to go to the book next week of Farewell to the East End.
Yeah.
How did Neve read this on a holiday? Do you know what I mean?
Well, here's the thing. I'll just say, so like, we usually encourage people to like watch the episode and then, you know, be prepped for when we talk about
it. Yeah, we just like, don't we?
Honestly, like, if you read the book and you want to either go back to it, or, you know, or you were really like dying to read it anyway and you were like, I'm going to do it or whatever like that, then like, great. But I'm just going to be clear, like, in advance, because I'm always like the trigger warning gal on this show, like, we'll try to make it a good, fun, usual episode with all of us, where, you know, we have jokes and humor and everything like that, but there are some true horrors, like, and I don't use that word lightly, like, horrors that are happening in the world, or that have happened in the past, that are as bad as it can get, like, truly as bad as it can get. And there's some of them she goes into detail, some of them she just kind of describes as a way of setting a scene or things like that. But when I just tell you, like, if you don't want to read this book, or you're not like really interested in reading it, or you haven't read it, like, don't feel like you have to push yourself to do it, you know? Like,
yeah, don't, just listen to us.
Like, we'll talk about all the great parts, like, we'll like talk about all the fun parts or hit that, but like, just know that there's like a discussion of a lot of really, really
grim,
grim stuff in this. And there were just a few parts that, like, I, when I'm saying this, I'm thinking about, oh God. And I just am like, I just remember I was on a road trip and I was reading it with my mom, and she was kind of like intermittently like falling asleep and waking up. But I was just like, oh my God. Oh my God. Like, as I was listening, I was like, gee, what is, like, to no one in the car, but my mom was there. And she was like, wait, what? And I was like, oh no. I'm like, this is terrible. This is terrible.
So from this really heartwarming, lovely episode that we've, can I just say, we've also had to do a bonus episode from all the correspondence we've had, because I didn't want to, like, just do little asides at the end. So how amazing is that? So yeah, but also keep sending your questions in, because we can do these all the time. So yeah, send them in, send all your questions, any comments you want to say to us, any reviews, any things that Jen's got wrong, you know, just care. I'm joking. Look, do you know what else really annoys me? I keep saying brevity instead of levity because I'm always tired. So I'm like, oh, for a bit of brevity. I really don't think that word needs that, but I keep saying it all the time. And then I catch myself afterwards on when I'm editing the episode, like, cringing from the inside.
Oh gosh. Oh my gosh, you guys, wait. This is so wild. So, okay, my mom this morning, she comes to me, she's like, can you go look? I think something is in our walkway, this white thing, and I don't know what it is. And I'm like, huh? So I go out there and it's like a cover. It's like a white fabric cover, but it looks like it's a cover for something, like, in the exterior, you know? And I'm like, I have no idea. And she's like, yeah. I'm like, I think it probably blowed over here from somewhere else, because this is not ours, and it's, like, in our yard somehow. Okay, you guys, the mystery is solved, because across the street from us, there's a guy who owns an RV, and he's got wheel covers for the RV, and he literally just walked over to my yard and picked up the cover and walked back to his house, and he's putting it on the wheel. I mean, I'm not saying, like, all of the content we put out there is really great, but, and you guys didn't even know or care about that until I just told the story. But
we say that, but we can sleep soundly. Well, yeah, exactly. But also, a lot of people here have commented how they like these weird detours we go on. So, well, honestly, that's probably the weirdest, but
mystery solved.
They are here for it.
I'm
this,
like,
is on Pod's next, Pod's next podcast, Jen's next podcast, weird neighborhood mysteries solved.
I know. I want to give myself a pun name that's like Wagatha Christie or something, that now that, like, the mystery of the tire cover has been solved. But anyway.
I was trying to think of a famous detective. It's got any kind of pun that could have like tire or wheel.
I know. I was going to say, like, we, something with Sherlock Holmes, but no, we'll have to brainstorm it and come back next time. Also, you can cut this whole story out if you'd like to, but.
No, it's work. So no. Right, thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for contributing. Again, send us messages to callthemidwife@gmail.com. No, not call the midwife. Recallthemidwife@gmail.com. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter /X, Threads. Leave us a comment on the podcast review as well. Just a good one. Don't negatives, Kelby. Just don't do it. So thank you so much for listening. Get in contact, that'd be great. And we'll see you next week when we're doing the farewell to the East End.
Yes. Bye.
See you next week. Thank you so much. Ta-ta.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.